Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. An epistle from God Almighty through the Apostle Paul set forth the glories of the grace of God and to show us once and for all that the blessings of the Lord are by grace and not by works. Galatians chapter 3, I'll read verses 1 through 5. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his word. In Galatians chapter 3, one cannot but be impressed with Paul's salutation. He usually says to the beloved brethren, to the saints chosen, but here he says, O foolish, not brethren, not Christian, but foolish Galatians, calling them after the name of their territory. Citizens who came from ancient Gaul and settled in this territory of the Gauls are Galatians. Foolish. When I see the word fool or foolish, I think of the definition in the Word of God in which we read that it is the fool that hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is one who thinks, lives, acts as if there were no God, as if there were to be no accounting or reckoning in days to come. These people had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. These people were Christians. They were members of the church of Galatia. But he calls them, oh, foolish Galatians. So strong is that word fool and foolish that God has forbidden us to say to a brother, "Thou fool." Few words can turn one off, burn them up, like being called a fool. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath fascinated you? Who has charmed you? Who has hypnotized you? I can't understand what you're doing. Now, they're bewitched. They're charmed. I've heard all my life that a snake can charm a bird. I've heard of birds being charmed by snakes, but I've never seen that. But I saw two things in life. One day while living on the mountain, I stepped out on to the patio, and I noticed a squirrel lying over there, just kind of curled up. And I knew something was wrong, and I got to looking around, and after a while I saw the old cat. Now, I can just abuse your mind about one thing, and that is a cat can't read your mind. I've been told that again and again, but the last person told me that. I said, "That isn't so." And they said, "How do you know?" I said, "Well, if that one could read my mind, it'd be a mile away from here now." But he can't read my mind. But the old cat over there watching the squirrel and his tail just going like that. Well, I knew the cat had bewitched that squirrel. I knew he had charmed him, done something to it. I didn't know what it was, and I called the daughter that was at home with us then, and she came out on the patio. When she saw it, she let out a scream, and when she let out a scream, that squirrel jumped sky high, hit a tree, and was gone, and that cat right after. But that scream broke the spell. When we lived on Sunbeam, I was walking over in the neighbor's yard, and I saw a full-grown cottontail rabbit lying there. Didn't seem to be a thing in the world wrong with it. And I got to looking around, there's another cat over there, and had that rabbit under its spell, and I kicked at the rabbit, and it jumped and was gone. Now, that's what the Spirit of the Lord is talking about here. Somebody has done that to the Galatians. And somebody's doing that to a countless number of Christians in the world today. They're walking around under a spell. Some of the television programs I tell you, you've got to watch them. Some of the speakers remind me of two men that used to be powers in the state from which I came. One was a governor of the state, the other pastor of a large church. My father used to say about them, "If you don't want to join them, don't listen to them." Now, just don't listen if you don't want to join. But some of these programs to which I listen, the speaker is so smooth and so soft. I feel like he's just getting ready to try to put me to sleep. When he puts me to sleep, bore a hole and pour a bunch of stuff in. Bewitching! They're all very particular about how they say what they're saying, so as to make sure they impress or bewitch you or charm you or fascinates you. Oh, Brother Wilson, he has personality plus. Now, what is that? What is that stuff they call personality plus? Well, that's interesting. Now, I was born 30 years too soon. That Greek professor who made such a profound impact upon my life and ministry used to say that when you become more concerned about how you say something than what you say, you're in trouble. It doesn't make any difference how you say it. If you're telling the truth, you get that out. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has charmed you? Who has you under their spell? That squirrel never moved. That rabbit never moved until an outside force or attraction intervened and the spell was broken. Now, somebody's got you charmed. Just a little while ago, Paul said, I was telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He died for your sins, how that He was buried, He rose from the dead, He ascended on high, and He's coming back again. I told you how Jesus paid it all, and now you're trying to pay part of it. I don't understand you. It's just a little while since I left you, and you believed, and observed, and practiced the truth. But now you've gone far afield, just like one under the spell of hypnosis, being led around, doing as somebody else has dictated. I marvel. Jesus Christ was set forth before you in no uncertain terms. You know the Lord, and I know that you know the Lord. What they were doing is this, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Are you such fools that having begun in the Spirit, you're now going to be perfected through the works of the flesh? And that's what he's talking about up here in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? The King James translation isn't too happy. Literally, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, by your actions, you're crucifying Jesus afresh among you. Just like he said in the Epistle to the Hebrews in the 6th chapter, you do crucify the Lord Jesus Christ again. Here, you Christians, you start out led by the Spirit of God, under the Spirit of God, and then you start trying to do these things in the flesh. You're crucifying Jesus again. He's crucified again among you. Oh, beloved, the flesh is powerful. Spirit, soul, and body. The spirit striving against the soul, the flesh striving against the soul. We yield to the flesh. We've got the three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're all working against the soul and the spirit. Now,
You've been saved by grace. You did nothing good to make you fit to be saved. You did nothing good to get saved. You can do nothing good to stay saved. You can do nothing good to prove you have been saved. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. But these Galatians, saved by grace, and now they're trying to keep themselves saved by their works. This one thing would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? That's a pertinent question today because so many are claiming to have miraculous powers of the Spirit of God, certain evidences of the presence of the Spirit of God. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? That's the question that he's asking them. And that's the question today. Oftentimes I'm asked, have you been sanctified since you were saved? Have you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you were saved? And to them, evidences of the Holy Spirit, the ability to speak in tongues, as they call it, or foreign languages, or to perform miracles such as healing the sick, raising the dead, drinking deadly poison without being hurt, or handling snakes, casting out demons, and many other things which many erroneously claim to have such power today. Now, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Now, in Acts 19, if you'll turn there for just a moment, we'll check with the Word of God. Acts 19, Paul's experience at Ephesus. Apollos had been through there preaching. Apollos knew something about the Word of God, but he didn't know about the Lord Jesus Christ to the full extent or about the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here in this 19th chapter, verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. They're disciples of Apollos. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. Now, a mistranslation here has given rise to hundreds of false cults and sects, all of them fundamentally based upon a mistranslation. There's a word in this second verse, since, which literally is when and not since. What Paul asked them was this: did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? Having believed, have you received? Now, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's what he asked. Not since you believe, because there are groups existing today who make salvation to be one act of grace, and then at some later time, through certain successful efforts on the part of the believer, they receive the Holy Spirit of God and then become sanctified, so to speak. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? That's what he's asking. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as a gift of God, or was it because of your works? Now, if you hold your place there for just a moment and turn with me to the second chapter of Acts. I went back yesterday and reviewed some of the writings of a man for whom I have a great deal of respect and regard, and he's considered to be an authority on certain aspects of the Holy Spirit, his person, and his work. And in this classic of his, he lists 7 steps that need to be fulfilled one by one before you receive the Holy Spirit of God. And he starts here in the second chapter of Acts, verses 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he puts down, number one, you've got to be saved first. No unsaved person can receive the Holy Spirit of God. Then, number two, you've got to repent. And if you study the majority of writings on repentance, you soon learn that the writers on repentance get the word repentance confused with the word penance. And when they say repent, what they mean is you've got to do penance. I have an early translation of the New Testament as recognized and authorized by the Church of Rome. And in this, when they come to the passage of Scripture in Matthew, John the Baptizer comes preaching, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That translation says, Do penance! Do penance! Get out on your knees! Pray all night! Pray it through! I've been in some places where they roll over and over and over in the aisle and in the straw. I've been in some places where they roll down the aisle, all trying to get the Holy Spirit, as they call it. Trying to get it. I think I mentioned once before a colored woman next door to where I was living once. I was washing, and she knew that I was teaching Bible there in the college, and she said to me, You know, I just can't get it. I just can't get it. I said, Can't get what? And she said, The Holy Spirit, calling him it. She said, I prayed all night, and I went to the tent meeting, and I prayed and prayed, and I rolled and rolled in the straw, and I just can't get it. I just can't get it. Oh, they make receiving the Holy Spirit something extremely difficult. The writer goes on, You've got to repent. You've got to give up every sin in your life. You've got to forsake this. Not only is there a negative aspect, but then there's a positive aspect. Having put all of this aside, then you've got to do this and this and this. You've got to repent. You've got to, having repented of every sin. Beloved, I just have to stop here and call your attention to the fact that if a person can rid themselves of every sin without the Holy Spirit of God, then they don't need Him. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. And the only way God works in us and through us is by His indwelling Spirit. And we've got to have Him within us. People refuse to believe salvation as we have it from the Word of God. The most beautiful illustration of salvation by grace is the prodigal son climbing out of the pig pen with the mire and the muck, the stench, his clothes saturated with it, his hair matted, whiskers full of that filthy mud out of the pig pen. He gets up and with all of that on him, goes to the Father, and the Father welcomes him with open arms, and the Father clasps him, filth and all, to his bosom. How few people realize and appreciate that. The songwriter did of our invitational hymn, "Just as I am." That's sin and all, filth and all, stench and all, just as I am. Just as I am. Just as I am. Without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. In my mind's eye, I can see Paul Lajoie in Paris, France, in that big city auditorium, preaching to thousands one Sunday afternoon. Interest is not there. Concern is absent. And he stops. According to the historical account, he stops and he cries out, "Is there a sinner in this congregation? Is there a sinner? If there is, I've got some good news for you. If there's one sinner here, I've got some good news for you. And that good news is Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. You've got to repent. Then you have to confess. Then you've got to be baptized. Oh, then you've got to ask the Father. You've got to ask the Father. Oh, beloved, there are some things for which we ask the Father, but we don't ask him for the Holy Spirit of God. There are passages here where they did ask for the Holy Spirit of God. There are passages in here where they prayed that the Holy Spirit be not taken away from them, but they were under law and not under grace. How do you receive the Holy Spirit of God? I encountered one group that contend you've got to turn your back on all worldly goods. You've got to give up material things. I saw a picture one day in the paper here at Chattanooga, three young ladies from New Orleans who'd come into the city of Chattanooga. These three young ladies had renounced all material things. They'd come to the city of Chattanooga to solicit funds. To support them. I see them up and down Mountain Creek Road every once in a while who've renounced all material things. But they still live in a material house and they still eat material things. And they have on a certain aspect of material clothing, some might call it. I don't know just what it is. I've seen others in material cars. Beloved, you look into that, you find out they haven't given up material things. They've given up working for material things and they expect you and me to give them to them. No. The Word of God in the New Testament says we're to work with our hands and keep so that we may be able to help those who do not have of this world's goods. That's what he said. Our Lord rebuked one to whom he'd given the talent and the pound because they didn't invest it and receive dividend from it that he might have it when he returned. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. But God's made provision in material things for his children. The only thing he doesn't want his children worshiping the things which he's made. He wants them worshiping him and the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to give up this, and you've got to give up that, and you have to quit this, and you quit that. And then you have to come to the altar, and you've got to pray it through. You've got to commit yourself 100%. You've got to dedicate yourself 100%. That's an interesting thing for some of you to study through if you're interested how a person living in a body of death. And we're living in bodies of death. How a person living in a body of death can dedicate himself 100% to the Lord. when we've got a body that he's got to get rid of before we can get into his presence. Something's got to be done with this body. You can't dedicate this old thing to him. Oh, you don't. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Like individuals who talk about they found Jesus. I astonished someone not long ago when they said, "Oh, Brother Wilson, you'd be so happy to know that so-and-so found Jesus." I said, "Oh, they did? Where did they find him? How long had he been lost?" Jesus the Christ finds us. We don't find him. We're like Adam and Eve were in the garden, hiding from him. Except the Father draw him. No man cometh unto the Father. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Now, how did you get the Holy Spirit of God? Oh, the many, many different things you've got to do to get the Holy Spirit of God. In my experience as pastor of churches, I've seen some young men, and I'm thinking of them by name now, some young men who I think completely lost their minds. I don't know. Just seeking and seeking and seeking. Isn't it something for people to be begging for a gift? To be begging for a gift? You don't beg somebody for a gift. All God wants us to do is just open our hands and receive that which He has for us. Now, how did you receive the Holy Spirit of God? So Paul said to these Ephesians, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" We haven't even heard there was such a person or thing as the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to show you the truth of the Word of God. How one receives the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. We get back there now. Galatians chapter 3. All right. Verse 2. "This only would have learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" He's talking to the Galatians. They had been saved. Now, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Was it by works? Was it by the works of the law? Well, we can even go back into the Old Testament. There was King Saul, who had no works that were pleasing unto the Lord. And the Lord poured out His Spirit upon him, and he went with the prophets, and he prophesied at the time. There was a Samson who had the Holy Spirit poured out upon him, and he had done no works of the law to satisfy God that the Holy Spirit be poured out upon him. The same was true of King David. The same was true of many others. In the Old Testament, the Lord bestowed His Holy Spirit upon this one, upon that one. And then the Holy Spirit would be removed from this one and then from that one, never to abide. The abiding is a New Testament experience. Now, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Was it by works, or was it by the hearing of faith? The hearing is something. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a passage in James which brings that out very clearly, to which I refer but will not turn at this time. James says, concerning hearing, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." Now, hearers were saved people. Everybody that heard was saved. Now, don't just be satisfied to be saved, but be a doer of the Word. Live for the Lord now since you've been saved. Don't be just a hearer. One who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, having heard the gospel of the grace of God, is a hearer. He's a hearer. Now, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer. Now, when we come to that, we find ourselves in the book of John, chapter 7, the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Chapter 7, verses 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, now get the word, he that believeth on me. As the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now notice, it's just the one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, whosoever believes on me receives the Holy Spirit of God. The minute a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes into them to abide forever. Turn over the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. I hear Christians sometimes praying, Oh Lord, remove not thy Holy Spirit from me. Then once in a while I see a group who've come together, and I've been in groups of ministers, believe it or not, where one would say, I tell you what we need, brethren, we need another Pentecost. We need another Pentecost. If you remember on Pentecost, they were all together. Number one, we got to get everybody together. Number two, they were all of one accord. Then I say, forget it. Get them all of one accord. You don't do that. You don't do that. You can't even get one of one accord. So mixed up are they in their own minds, much less two, not of one accord. And then pray till the Holy Spirit comes. They say, I said, oh no. No. A man had attended a religious meeting somewhere, and he came back by through the town where I was pastoring. He stopped by to visit. He's a friend of ours. And, oh, Ed, you should have been there. You should have been there. It was another Pentecost. It was another Pentecost. I said, did you hear the great mighty rushing sound as of a mighty wind? He said, no. I said, did tongues like unto fire come and light upon their heads? He said, no. I said, did everybody start speaking in foreign languages? He said, no. I said, well, what made you think it was Pentecost? I don't know. Somebody made a cute little rose water glycerin speech and goosebumps came up and he thought it was Pentecost. Now, everybody who believes receives the Holy Spirit when they believe. Now, watch this. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And the word another means one exactly like me. He'll give you another one just exactly like me to take my place, that he may abide with you forever. 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 Now, how is he going to abide with us forever? Look at the next verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The minute you believe, the minute I believe, this is the New Testament experience. The Holy Spirit comes into us to abide forever. And nothing you can do or do not do can cause him to leave. That's the seal, the brand, the promise, the purchase price that God Almighty has given to guarantee that he's coming back and redeem us one day. He's given us his Spirit to abide within us forever. He gives it to us. Now back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, that verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Sarcasm so thick you can cut it with a knife. You, who've just been saved a little bit, now you're going to teach me. All right, teach me now. This would I learn. Now, go ahead, you're so smart. Now teach me something. All right, what? Well, you teach me this. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works? Or by the word of faith? How did you receive the Holy Spirit of God? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? This old flesh. It has been said that there's nothing much dirtier or filthier than human flesh. If you only knew the amount of money that was expended annually trying to make this flesh presentable. All the ointments and the perfumes and the silks and the satins trying to make it presentable. And when you get all through, it's just still old flesh that has to go into the grave and be changed before it can be acceptable to God. Or if we're caught up alive to meet the Lord in there, God the Almighty has to change it because he's not going to let us into his presence in these old bodies. Flesh. Flesh. Oh, my. He said, so foolish, you're going to now perfect yourself by the works of the flesh. And then he continues, have you suffered so many things in vain? Beloved, all your suffering as a Christian, all your suffering because of Christ, is going to be for nothing. It's going to be for nothing. It's not the works of the flesh that are going to qualify you to rule and reign with the Lord. That's not going to do it. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. But your suffering is going to be all in vain. All in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now, we need to know one thing. That is, having believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we received the Holy Spirit of God the exact moment we believed. Now, that's when we received the Holy Spirit of God. And he's been in us ever since. He can be acknowledged, recognized, owned, obeyed, disobeyed. We read that God is everywhere. We read that God is with us. God is everywhere in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. God is with us and in us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's in us. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us. Now, first of all, we need to recognize his presence. We need to yield to his guidance. Now, Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit of God, he, when he has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, here are the directions. Here are the directions. God speaks to us through his word. Listening to some of these television programs, one testifies, oh, last night I was awakened in the middle of the night and there was God standing and he said to me, now I want you to do this and that and so forth, and now you do it. Carry on! And then he's gone. No. Beware of visions There are no visions, there are no revelations in the era or dispensation in which we live in. God has told us everything He wants us to know in this book. He's given us His Holy Spirit to enable us to know it, understand it, to strengthen our wills that we may obey it and to carry on. We've got it. Now, I think Christianity is one of the most reasonable experiences that one can have. And you can boil it down into something like under this. Christ died for my sins. I realized I was a sinner. I believed the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed Him when He said He died for my sins. I believed Him. I accepted Him as my Savior. The same time I believed on Him, the Holy Spirit came into me. Now, I've got His Holy Spirit within me. I've got His Holy Spirit within me. Now, what I need to do is listen to Him. And as you read this book, all of a sudden you'll be arrested. You'll turn back to another verse. You'll turn back to a chapter and you read it again and again, and He speaks to you. And you know He's spoken to you. You haven't seen any visions and you haven't heard any audible voices falling on your ear, but He speaks to your innermost being. And you can know it. And you know it's Him. Now, what must I do to receive the Holy Spirit of God? Nothing. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive Him. When you believe, and He indwells you. What are the evidences of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? That's another message. But I'll give you one word. I'll give you one word. How can you tell one is filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You've got a snake in each hand? No. He's talking something sound like the Morse code? No. No. He's pouring oil on everybody and bidding them get up and go. They're healed? No. He's out the cemetery emptying all the graves? No. No. He's running around casting out devils? No. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. That's another sermon, another message, another study entirely. But love. And that's the word agape. The love that comes only from God to only those who have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Love. Now, you've received the Holy Spirit. So don't be led astray by these fascinating charmers who would tell you, if you quit this and quit that and do this and do that, you'll be filled with the Spirit, and then you'll be able to perform all these miracles. Be done with that. Be done with that. What I want you to take home with you? I want you to take this home with you. When one believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes in to indwell them forever. And now may the grace of God our Father, the love of Jesus Christ our Lord, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each and every one of His children present. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.